Pray. No, I'm going to pray. Josie's going to speak about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And so I just thought it's always nice. I did check this out. Some people want a prayer, some people don't. But yeah, we just, Lord, I just want to lift up Josie to you and thank you for her, Lord, and thank you for all that she will bring to us this morning. Lord, what's amazing is that you have a relationship with each and every one of us. And Lord, you touch us and you move us and you speak to us and you love us. And I just pray, Lord, that in all of that, what Josie shares this morning, that we will hear something of you, Lord, because that's how you work. That's how good you are, Father. But we pray that we hear with ears to hear, Lord, and eyes to see all that she shares. Amen.
Okay, good morning. Looking out, I think I know most people, but if you don't know me, my name's Josie, you've probably guessed by now. You might know my family members. I've got my auntie and uncle, part of the church, Andrew and Carol, my sister, Rachel, and my mum and my dad. Where are they? Yeah, there. Just like to keep my eye. And my husband. And my husband, who we're one and the same, so you know. It's, and my children, so yeah. So I'm going to talk about you later, don't worry. So when I was born, my parents were part of this church. And then, so I grew up as part of Linden. When I was 18, I went away to university. And then from there, I moved to London. And there I met Jim. There you go, see? And then we stayed in London for a few years, and then when I was pregnant with Hallie, I thought, childcare. No, there was lots of reasons, but we moved back to Swansea. So Jim, who is originally English, sorry just to say it, is now, loves living in Swansea, don't you, Jim? And we've been back here for 11 and a half years. I know, crazy. Okay, so that's a little bit about me. And I'm going to be speaking about Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So if I can have my slide. That's all right. There you go. Yeah, I know. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit as a comforter. And I've just put a picture of a lion on there because when I think about the Holy Spirit, I don't know why. I think it might be to do with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the multiple times I watched it as a child. But I always think of a lion. And I love the image of Lucy walking along with Aslan by her side. So that's what I think of when I think of the Holy Spirit. Other people might think of different animals. Anybody got an animal in mind when they think of the Holy Spirit? A dove, yeah. Kind of different to a lion. But yeah, okay. So I wanted to start by thinking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. So when Jesus was on earth, when he'd come back from being crucified, he spoke to his disciples before going up to heaven. And he talked about sending a helper. Now my dad is going to read the verses for me. So if I can have the next. Oh, yeah, there you go, in tune.
I've come out of retirement for this. You know me too well. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, that he may be with you forever. On the next one. The helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things.
To be fair, he's a good reader, isn't he? I'll give him that, he's a good reader. Okay, so the idea was that there would be three parts of God. So I spent a long time, anyone who knows me knows I'm famous for going down internet rabbit holes. So I start researching something. The Kennedys was my worst. I got completely obsessed with the Kennedys one summer. Don't ask. So I stopped myself going down this rabbit hole, but I was looking for the perfect analogy for the Holy Spirit. I didn't find it for the Trinity, okay? So there was something about an egg. That wasn't very good, I decided. Anyway, I ended up with this diagram, which I think is actually from GCSE RE, because is it Rachel? Yeah, okay. So the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equal to God. And when Jesus spoke about sending another helper, he was talking about another of him. So something that was the same. So I have got a little analogy for this, which is, if you imagine you were fixing something at home, which I'm obviously doing all of the time, and I was using a screwdriver. Again, this consistently happens, doesn't it, Jim? Yeah. And I might be using a screwdriver and I say, not the Phillips, the flathead, please. And I've had to write that down. You can see I don't do it frequently. So I'm asking for, it's another screwdriver, but it's different. However, if I was nailing things to the wall, again, common occurrence, I might say, can I have another nail? And I would mean something that is exactly the same. And that's what he means when he says, I'll send you another, okay? Now, I've often thought of God the Father, top dog, then Jesus, middle, and then the Holy Spirit, okay? But there isn't a hierarchy. They are all one and the same. So the image I did come up with was that of a rope. So a rope being three separate strands wrapped around each other, making one rope. But even that, I wasn't very happy with, but there you go. Okay, so the difference is that whilst Jesus was alongside us and alongside his disciples, the Holy Spirit is part of us. So the Holy Spirit is with us. Okay, so that's my little Holy Spirit intro. I hope it made sense. Oh, there you go. I'm trying to be in denial about the fact I've got a cold starting. Right. Okay, so, can I have the next slide, please, Janet? There you go, that's my another Greek word, which obviously we all knew, didn't we, the Greek word. Okay, and then the next one, please. Okay, so the Holy Spirit specifically as comforter. So I thought lots about this, and what I found was that in the King James Version of the Bible, the word comforter comes from the Latin, which means with strength. So the Holy Spirit is the bringer of strength. Now, I had a boss who was okay. I'll give him that. I'll give him a 6 out of 10 as a boss. But he always used to say to me, so what? So I would tell him all these amazing things that I had, all these ideas. He'd say, okay, Josie, so what? So what's the impact of it? And it used to really annoy me because I'd be like, but I've got this great idea. Yeah, okay, but so what? What difference is that going to make? So I've asked myself the same question. So what if the Holy Spirit is a comforter? So I've thought about this as the Holy Spirit bringing us the strength to comfort other people. And I've been lucky enough to have some really amazing friends, family, part of this church, who've comforted us when things have been difficult for us. So as some of you know, our daughter Hallie, when she was 18 months, we just noticed that she started to walk funny, and we didn't really understand why. She was just learning to walk properly, but Jim, you know, noticed, and we didn't really know what was wrong with her. We took her to the doctor. We ended up in A&E, fracture clinics, everything. I was pregnant at the time with Seb, and it was quite a stressful time. And what we discovered is that she's got juvenile arthritis, which, you know, you wouldn't know it, would you, to look at her? But it is something that has been quite challenging for us as a family. And my mum and my dad, can I not get emotional? But we did have some really, and still do, amazing friends who stood with us during this time. So people prayed for us, people cooked for us. When I had Seb, I had a C-section with Seb. Anyone who's had a C-section knows it's no joke. Any women out there who've had a C-section? Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. And I remember my mum saying to me, it's the only major abdominal surgery they send you home from and tell you to look after a newborn baby. And you're like, but I also had Hallie who couldn't walk. Well, she could walk, but she couldn't walk properly. So it was really difficult. But we were brought strength by the people around us. So people made us cakes. Jamie, I remember you made us. I think it was a parsnip cake. Is that? Yeah? Does that ring a bell? Yeah, a parsnip cake. Emma is not here. When Jim went back to work, Emma came around every night to help me to put the kids to bed because I couldn't do it. And Jim at the time was working 2 till 10, weren't you? In Bridgend. Anyway, that brought us massive, massive strength. So thank you for that, an official thank you. But just for you to know that we can provide people with strength just by being with them, just by standing by them. And sometimes we don't know the impact of that until afterwards. What people couldn't do for us was change our situation. So nobody could come to us and say, magic wand, Hallie's fine, there's no problem with her joints, and your C-section scar is gone, is healed. That would have been amazing. But they could stand with us. Okay. I want to show you a clip from an amazing TV show. Does anybody out here watch The West Wing? Yeah. What a show. Yeah. Love The West Wing. Although it did lose its way slightly. That's okay. Spoiler alert here, Jan. Come on. It won't stop? Oh. Okay. So in the clip, Josh, my second favorite character. Any Josh fans? Yeah, Josh? Yeah, not number one, though. Can anyone remember what happened to him at the end of season one? He was shot. Do you remember? He was shot, yeah. Spoiler, sorry, guys. And he struggles to deal with this. He's got PTSD. And he's ended up smashing a window because he's finding it really hard to sort of process his emotions around it. And he has to go and see somebody at work about what's happened, about his feelings. Now, his boss, Leo, the best character, are we agreed? No Leo fans? Yes, thank you. I can rely on my uncle. He waits for him. So Josh goes and has his meeting, and Leo stays behind and waits for him, and then he tells him a story.
How'd it go?
Did you wait around for me?
How'd it go?
He thinks I may have an eating disorder.
Josh.
And fear of rectangles. That's not weird, is it? I didn't cut my hand on a glass. I broke a window in my apartment.
This guy's walking down the street when he falls in the hall. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down in the hall and moves on. Then a priest comes along and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down in this hole. Can you help me out?" The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hall and moves on. Then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." The friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out. As long as I got a job, you got a job, you understand?"
So I think that jumping down into the hole with people to help them get out requires strength. And it's not the kind of strength that we can summon on our own. It's the strength that I think comes from the Holy Spirit. If we try to do it on our own, if we're constantly jumping down into holes with people, trying to get them out in our own strength, it's not going to work. We're going to burn out. And we've all learned that the hard way, probably. Okay, so there's another way that I think the Holy Spirit, another so what, really, that I want to share. When we're given strength through the Holy Spirit, I think that it enables us to have what I'm going to call courageous hearts. But again, what does this look like? What does this mean? Are you ready for your second reading, Dad? Good. So Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Okay, so what is the most important thing that we should do?
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Thanks. Okay, so the love that we give to God will always be reciprocated. We know that. We love God, he loves us back unconditionally. But the love that we give our neighbors, there are no guarantees about. So a couple of weeks ago, Naomi was doing the kids upstairs and she asked us to about a time that we've shown courage. So I gave an example of a zip line that I'd done, which was very scary actually, 70 miles an hour, can you believe it? It was good, but I said that was an example of myself showing courage, which it was. But when I thought about it, actually, I think the most courageous thing that all of us can do and that I've done is to love other people, because there are no guarantees with love. So lots of you will know that I work in education. So I started as an English teacher, but I've spent the last 10 years working in Carmarthenshire. So I work with children who don't attend mainstream schools because they've got a whole range of social and emotional difficulties. And lots of these children have had really challenging starts in life and have experienced trauma. And working with these children is amazing. I know that lots of people in the church work in similar settings, work with similar families, and I'm sure we'd all agree it's amazing, but it is challenging. And to love these kids isn't always easy, but I believe that they do desperately need to be loved. So there's a guy called Bruce Perry. Anyone heard of Bruce Perry? Rachel, yeah. Yeah, he's an American psychologist, and he's written and researched childhood trauma in great detail. And he says this, the truth is you cannot love yourself unless you've been loved and are loved. The capacity to love cannot be built in isolation. So something that I tried to do through work is to provide the kids with an environment in which they feel loved. Now, sometimes this isn't what they're used to, and children who've grown up in chaos and conflict often feel more comfortable in those sorts of situations, and they are very skilled at creating conflict and chaos, as I know. And children who've been consistently rejected will very often reject you before you can reject them. So sometimes we see huge leaps forward, followed very swiftly by even bigger steps backwards. It's hard. I work now mainly with children who are suffering from poor mental health, and seeing the impact of this day to day and standing with them, loving them through it is painful and exhausting. Now, I'm lucky to have some great colleagues, supportive family and friends, but ultimately the strength that I get is from the Holy Spirit. And I have that image, the lion, in my heart, in my mind consistently. So this quote, it's Bruce Perry again, as you can see, I'm a fan. I had a job interview during COVID. It was in the same sector that I'm in, but it was a different role. And I wanted to talk about love, and I wanted to talk about loving the children, but I thought, how's this gonna go down? So I thought, right, I'll just use a quote because it's so important to me, but I'll use this quote, which is, The more healthy relationships a child has, the more likely he will be to recover from trauma and thrive. Relationships are the agents of change, and the most powerful therapy is human love. Now, I agree with that to an extent. I agree with it a lot, but I believe that the love that I can show, that others can show, it's not human love. It doesn't just come from us, because that love, you know, it is really difficult, isn't it? And sometimes we run dry, but the love comes from God. The Spirit comes from God, and that Spirit is God, and that allows us to love in different ways. There's a quote that I think about from a song. It's one of my favorite quotes, and I have to remind myself of it sometimes. It's, love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. And loving people doesn't always end well. You know, it's not a pretty picture. And I think when I first started my job, I thought, you know, I'm going to change lives. It's going to be amazing. I'll be doing my TED Talks. And now this person, you know, they went on to become prime minister, and it's all down to my English teaching. And it's like, no, Josie, it's really not going to happen that way. And, you know, some of the kids that I've worked with, their lives, they haven't gone on to thrive and flourish. You know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. It is really, really difficult. But as I've gone on, I've realized that just little snippets of happiness, and even just being a positive memory, being somebody that they can look back and say, that person believed in me. You know, that time we went down the beach, that was fun. Just things like that, I think, are important. But I think all of us would agree that we can at times feel a little bit broken. And that's not because we failed. That's because we've loved. And that's no bad thing. So I finished writing this talk on Friday afternoon. I stayed in work to get it done, less distractions. And I got in the car and I thought, it's a bit negative note to end on, really, isn't it? So I was thinking this, and then I had the radio on, and they were advertising a radio show, which is about advice that people would give their younger selves. And this is some advice that somebody said they'd give somebody. Sorry, they'd give themselves. So here's the thing about emotions. You can't just shut off the hard ones. So what I was thinking about is, as painful as it is sometimes, when you don't have success, or when it feels like you're not making a difference, when you do love these kids, when you love people who are going through difficult times, you know, when you love and that love makes a difference to people, that is probably the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. So this is a picture of a little girl who I work with, and we took her out to the beach somewhere. That's, anyone recognize that beach? Pembrey. And she lives a couple of miles from there. She'd never been there, and she'd never flown a kite before. And for me, that was a really incredible moment that I know wouldn't have been as incredible if I hadn't have been so invested in her and her story. And yeah, I've got so many amazing memories of that. We had a Christmas disco. And as I said, I work with kids who are struggling with their mental health. So a disco, sometimes it's a little bit ambitious, but we did it anyway. And it was just amazing because the music was on and it was a bit like a wedding. So all of the staff, I said, right, come on, we've got to dance, guys. We've got to lead the way. Okay. If we're awkwardly standing around the side, no one's going to join in. So we just went for it. And they joined in as well. And it was amazing. And it was just to see kids who can be so almost stuck in their own heads, be able to be freed. And again, I know that that wouldn't have meant as much to me if I hadn't have been willing to love them with the love that the Holy Spirit gives me the strength to. So, my last slide. The two things that I wanted, well, that I took away from my thinking about this, my last page, is that what can we do with the comfort the Holy Spirit gives us? So we know that He is our comforter. Well, we can pay it forward, and we can provide comfort for people, and we can use it to have courageous hearts, and to love bravely. So those were my thoughts.
Thanks, Josie. I love that. I love the fact that we can all make a difference to the people that are in our day to day by seeing them with eyes of love, isn't it? And just reaching out. And I think, as Josie said, it's when we feel love that we can then pass it on, isn't it? And yeah, I loved that picture as well, Josie. That little girl and the kite, and just that sense that, you know, within God as well, we can be free, can't we, to kind of to enjoy that love. And I think as well that the way that we express that love is in sharing something of who we are, and we don't have to be perfect. In fact, it's about being real, isn't it, and authentic.